I can't remember a time in my life where someone hasn't hated me. From a young child, I was labelled too loud, too wild, too much. Somehow, despite it all, it has never fazed me. Don't get me wrong, of course at times my ego has a pity party, but it's always been short-lived and the judgment of others has only fueled me to be even louder. I've survived childhood abuse, eating disorders, heartache, homelessness, substance abuse, and everything in between. Join me as I dive into it all and hopefully my rambles can encourage you to be your most outspoken self. Let's get controversial together. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of me rambling my head off. Now, guys, I have just gone to record this two different times and I just fucking stopped myself because I felt like I was rambling and I go from one place to another and then now I'm really annoyed that I've just spent like 30 minutes trying to record a podcast that I'm doing from scratch again. And I'm just going to apologize first. I'm going to start off and go, I'm sorry. This, I'm probably going to go from here to there to there. That's just how I talk sometimes. And it's probably going to be a podcast where you're like, what the fuck? Stay on track, mate. I'm just too scattered. I'm too not all there. So anyway, we're going to go on a big wild ride today. Today we're going to talk about the subway incident in court. And I know a few of you have already reached out and you would love me to touch on autism and self-harm and all the big things that I've touched briefly on, and we're absolutely going to dive into that. But I wanted to really focus the first few episodes on getting to know me and talking about these things, especially the subway thing and court thing, because I just want to fucking close that chapter. Like, it's just taken so much from me mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. And I'm fucking over it. Like, I'm so over it. It was the biggest load of shit that should never have fucking happened. So let's fucking go into it, rip the fucking Band-Aid off, get over it, and move on. So, yeah, some of you would already know. Some of you might not, depending on when you find this podcast. But in August last year, I'd taken my children to Subway. We'd gone to run a few errands and they wanted food. So we were going to Subway and then I think I was going to go to Red Rooster afterwards because all of my kids eat, you know, different things. So this was like during one of the COVID times where people were in their fear bubble and I wasn't wearing a mask. We'd go out without a mask. I've got a mask exemption. I'm not going to justify myself on that. Don't feel that I need to explain the ins and outs of why. I've got a legal, valid medical exemption and that should be that, right? So anyway, I was quite used to, you know, sometimes you'd get looks, you'd get stares, you'd get little snide remarks. Some businesses wouldn't serve you. You know, it was just a shit fucking time, really. But anyway, we'd gone in and immediately the subway worker had said, have you got a mask? And I said, I've got an exemption. In my head, bracing myself in that moment that she might say, well, no, whatever. But she was fine. She continued to take my order. So I was like, great, sweet. It's not going to be a drama today. So I'm happily, you know, did my order. And in the background, we've got Morrison. Some of you would know he's got autism and ADHD and he can't keep still. I mean, kids find it hard to keep still anyway, but he is just always running, climbing, scaling walls. Like, that kid is nonstop. It's a handful to take him out. Anyway, so he was running all over the place. And again, you know, children found it hard to socially distance, right? Especially a child with ADHD. Like, they don't understand that concept. They've got no boundaries. So he's running around and he's wanting a drink. There was a drink machine out the front of Subway, like those serve yourself drink machines. And there was an out of order sign on it. So he's running around and I just took a step forward with my left hand and I gestured to him. I said, oh, mate, it says it's out of order. We'll have to get a drink from somewhere else. And in that moment, there was a woman to the left of me who was waiting on her order. And she just immediately went from 0 to 100. Like, I literally, it was like somebody slapped me in the face. Like, my face was just in shock at how fast she went on. She's like, get back. You need to socially distance. I don't care if you've got a mask. Get him away from me. Stop letting him run near me. You step back. You stepped near me. Social distance. Like, started just going on like a fucking psychopath. And literally, I'm standing there like, what is happening right now? Like, I'm used to people carrying on at times, but not like this. Like, this was a next level reaction. And I stood there and I'm like, are you okay? I said, I fucking, and then I gestured with my right hand and I've gone, I was just showing him the drink machine's out of order. Like, he's a fucking kid. He can't keep still. I was just showing him that. I'm not trying to bloody get up your asshole. Like, what are you talking about? So she starts carrying on even more. And I was thinking in my head, like, fuck, is this woman, I don't know where she, I just couldn't believe how fast she got aggressive, how angry she got aggressive in that moment. So I thought, I need to take a video. Like, I feel really afraid of what's going to happen in this situation. So I take out my phone and I go to take a video, and she went even more psycho, which I didn't think could be possible, right? She started going on, literally her eyes looked like they were possessed. Like, she just turned into this fucking psychopath, possessed fucking demon. And so I thought in that split moment, I thought, fuck, okay, I don't think it's a good idea that I record her, but I need something in case she's going to go off. So I took a photo of her, and in it, she's there and she's sticking her fucking finger up at me while I took a photo, and I put the phone away. I thought, just try and de-escalate that. You've got, in case you need evidence of whoever this person is, snapped a photo, put it away. And she's like, if you're going to film me, I'm going to film you then. I'm going to film you then. How do you like it? She whips out her phone. And I had the children with me, and Munro was sitting at the table, but Hendricks kept walking back and forth. And by this stage, he was freaking out. Morrison was near me. And so I'm trying to shield Morrison behind me when she gets her camera out, and I've got my face covered. I'm trying to stay away from her anyway. And I was like, don't film my kids. Like, in that moment, I'm thinking, you know, these videos circulating of Karen's in the wild without a mask, you know, and I didn't want my children to be in that. I don't care if it's me. Like, I've been through the headlines for swearing, you know, for breastfeeding. That part doesn't worry me, but I didn't want my children associated with that. And, you know, some of the trolls have come out now when I, you know, had first said this and made that public. Oh, well, she posts her kids. What's she worried about? I choose what context I post them in. You know, I choose that, and it's in always in a nice setting. You know, we're talking about something. It's not, I didn't know where she was going to distribute this. Like, nobody wants some random filming their fucking kids. Like, no one, it doesn't matter whether they're a public fucking person or not. So I didn't want my children in it. So then Hendricks had come over and I asked him to take Morrison to go and sit at the table Munro was at and just wait there. Like, I will try and just deal with what I'm dealing with. So I'm trying to get my order, and she's carrying on now. So the subway worker was like, if you guys are going to fight, you need to leave. I was like, I'm just trying to get my order and go. Like, I haven't done anything here. She's being a weirdo. So she starts carrying on, and she starts getting right in my face while she's filming me, like sticking a camera in my face, walking around, filming me while I try and get my order. And I thought, okay, I just need to get out of here to get away from this person. And once I paid for my order, I started to leave. Now, in my head, because she's screaming, by the way, in this time, call security, get security, like to this subway worker. So then this subway worker goes to call security. So I'm thinking in my head, I need to get my children away. I'm not trying to create more drama. Like, this is a fucking frightening situation to be in. So I look over and I thought, we had to go to Kmart anyway. And from that subway, you can see Kmart's entrance. And I thought, I'll take the kids into Kmart. That way, one, I can de-escalate the situation. We can all calm down. I can get the kids out of the way. Two, they can see where I've gone. If they're getting security and they're so concerned, you know, security can come and see where I've gone. They can talk to me, right? So we go in and we calm down. We're doing our shop. We come out, and as we go out, I can see security to my left. So I stood there for a minute. I said, oh, hang on, guys. We'll see if they need to talk to me. So we're standing there for a minute. No one approached us. And I went, oh, okay, all right. I guess it's moved on. So we'll go. So I thought that was the end of it, right? This is August 2021. So the weeks pass, nothing happens. Like, I just, as soon as we left the shopping center, I thought that was the end of it, really. Then January rolls around this year, and the police come to my door. Now, those that have followed my social media know that we were very much harassed by the local police during COVID to check mask exemptions, to see if I was home, and yeah, we were harassed regularly. So I was like, oh, fuck, what public health order have I apparently breached now, when I saw that the police had turned up to the door? So I come down and they tell me that they're here about an assault. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, we're here about an assault that occurred in August 2021. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm literally, we've got the body cam footage, right? And my face is like so stunned. I'm like, literally, like, what are you talking about? Because I didn't think to retain that information and the date of that incident, because I didn't think it, like, why would you? Anyway, so then they're like, oh, this occurred out the front of Subway. And I, again, you see my face just like trying to like catch up to what the fuck, how are we here? And I said, are you talking about the Karen that abused me and my child about the mask and not socially distancing? And he's like, oh, well, will you tell me what happened? And so I gave him my version, like what I've just said then. And he's like, oh, it's alleged that, you know, you've assaulted her, that you've coughed on her. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I was like, surely there's camera footage. Like, there was a subway worker. Like, can't you get the camera footage and speak with the subway worker? Like, it seems pretty self-explanatory to me. And he goes, oh, we did get CCTV footage from the mall. He goes, that's how we were able to identify you and that you were there. And I'm thinking, how would you even know it was me then? Like, honestly, with everything that's gone on, you cannot convince me otherwise that somebody in that station does not like me. And that's how they were able to, you know, find out that was me. Anyway, so I was like, okay, well, can't you get footage from Subway? Like, there'd be a camera facing me, right? And he goes, oh, we've applied for that. We just have to get it. And I'm like, yes, okay, cool. We'll get that and speak to the Subway worker. And so anyway, that was January. Nothing happens. A few weeks later, I hear nothing. A few months pass, I hear nothing. So I'm like, oh, cool. They obviously saw the footage and realized she was off her fucking rocker. Then June of this year, I get an email to say I'd been charged with stalking, intimidation and assault. I didn't even realize that you could get charged via fucking email. I had no idea that was a thing. Like, I don't know, maybe I've watched too many cop shows in my life, or maybe we've just suddenly developed that place of technology, but that was weird for me. So I was like, okay, righto. So I reached out and I spoke with a criminal solicitor because I was facing criminal charges. And, you know, that if you get charged with a criminal offence, then no working with Children's Check. There's goodbye of any chance of me being a foster carer. I want to do foster care later on. And so I was like, these are huge implications for something that didn't even happen, like that I didn't even do. Like, this is fucking stupid. So I didn't want to risk going with legal aid. Now, a lot of the trolls have turned around and gone, she said she's too good for legal aid and legal aid shit. I've never said that. I don't think I'm too good for fucking anyone ever. But I certainly don't think that legal aid is shit. There would be incredible solicitors. My issue was it's literally my fucking namesake and my reputation and my ability to fucking work and, you know, help other people one day. No matter what, we cannot disagree or argue that legal aid workers aren't overworked. Like, they have huge caseloads and they're under the pump. And I wanted somebody that could dedicate and do everything that I needed and be available when I needed to talk to them and help me understand things, you know, not waiting in this queue of fucking people. I wanted somebody that could devote that time that I needed and felt like I could do. And so when I spoke to this solicitor, they'd given me an overall estimate, right? So you're given an estimate of what it'll be for everything. And he goes, this is what you'll need to pay straight away. And over the time, it'll end up being roughly this figure, depending on, you know, delays, extra court cases. And then, you know, also said, but by the time we get to hearing, it's probably not going to be until next year. So in my head, I'm like, yeah, sweet, cool. I can pay what I need to straight away. I've got that right there. And I'll have a good 6-8 months to come up with the rest of the money. Like, that's what I can work towards that. That's fine. So we'd gone in. And we pleaded not guilty straight away, obviously. And so the police were supposed to submit their brief of evidence. And the magistrate says, okay, the evidence that you've got, you need to provide that to her solicitor by whatever date it was. Well, that date came around and they still hadn't submitted the brief of evidence. So then we go back to court and get another date that they're supposed to submit the brief of evidence. That date come around, they still hadn't submitted it. So then we go back and the magistrate was a different magistrate. He was really frustrated at the police because they had no explanation as to why they had not submitted their brief of evidence by now. So he gave them another date and also immediately issued a hearing date, but issued it for this year. And when I spoke with my solicitor, he said, it's not common. You usually don't get a hearing date that fast. I really thought it would be into next year. You know, this is where it is. So you've got to come up with this $6,600 by this date. Obviously got that in an email. He didn't say it over the phone. And so then I was thinking in my head, okay, great. Well, how the hell do I come up with that straight away? So I was trying to come up with, you know, what can I do? How can I make a plan? I paid him some more money because I'd already been paying, right? I'd already been paying for all the other court cases that we've been to. And then I put in a payment and I said, look, I've just paid some money. Is there any way that I can enter like a payment plan or an agreement that I can pay that money? And his office declined and said that wasn't possible, which is understandable because it's a criminal thing, you know, that they would have a lot of people that have probably done a lot of bad things, and some people probably wouldn't end up paying, you know, so they put themselves in a shitty position. So I could understand that, and there's no hostility towards that solicitor at all. So that's when I had to put the call out on my social media. Like, I had no choice. It was too late. I couldn't even try and engage legal aid. Like, there just wouldn't have been enough time by that stage, with how fast the hearing date was running around. So I just put the call out, which was hard for me because I hate asking for help. I do, despite what my haters think, like, I don't like it. I don't like being in that situation. But what option did I have? Like, this, I can't just walk in, and anybody in that situation would not want to be charged with something they didn't fucking do. Like, nobody would want that. And I know in my heart that I pay it forward all the time. I've done it since a fucking child. Like, I help out anyone I can, whenever I can. I'm always fucking donating to things. I'm always trying to do things to help other people. So, you know, whatever I've ever received will always give back tenfold. Like, it's just my nature. I will give my last dollar. Like, I just always want to help people. And that's probably one of my love languages is giving. If you ask any of my friends that receive presents from me and stuff, you know, they would understand that I really try and go the extra mile to give to other people. So I put the call out. But within a few hours of putting that call out, I had a beautiful woman named Jessica reach out and tell me that she'd spoken with her boss, Samir, and that their legal team would love to jump on and help me. So I was ecstatic. So I immediately, like, I spoke with her, I spoke with Samir, and I realized that I didn't have to come up with that amount of money. Obviously, there were still costs involved, but I didn't have to come up with that $6,600 within a week or 2 weeks, whatever it was. So I was like, sweet, it's fine. Whatever I've got to pay now is achievable for me to do. So I put the call out on my social media and I said, please, no more donations. You know, what I've got now with the donations, the few donations that had come in, a lot of people are really still sticking to this assumption that I was donated $6,600. That was not the case. It's nowhere near that. And so I put the call out and said, I don't need any more, you know, with what I've got there, what I can come up with myself, I can do that. I can pay for it. You know, I can sort it out now. So, yeah, then obviously I've, put money through. So they've got money because this law firm, they were in Sydney. So they were going to have to travel and obviously stay at motels, blah, 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 blah. So you've got costs for that. Yeah, so they jumped on and Samir took over and he was just a gun from the get-go. He knew the ins and outs. He knew everything. He was appalled and disgusted to see that the brief of evidence still hadn't been supplied. So this next date that they had to supply this brief of evidence come around and they still hadn't done it. They still submitted the brief of evidence late. We finally got it late. And their brief of evidence consisted of a statement from the person accusing me of coughing on her, a statement from a Subway worker, there's body cam footage of when the police come to speak to me, not even telling me that was a formal interview, and then CCTV footage from Subway. Now, interestingly enough, this CCTV footage was a camera facing behind me. Now, I went back to Subway and took photos for my solicitor. There are two cameras at Subway, one that would have been pointing at my face, one that was pointing and facing my back. They only obtained footage from the camera facing my back. That in itself should speak volumes to people, because why would you not get the camera that shows someone's face to show exactly what they're doing, right? So anyway, we finally get that. We're fucking piss ourselves laughing going, is this it? Now, also, the woman alleged that I coughed on her before I pulled out my phone. The Subway worker alleged that I coughed on her as I was paying after I'd been served and paid, right? There were two Subway workers too, by the way, two Subway workers. The one that did the statement was the one that went to call security, and I didn't even pay with her. I paid with the other worker. So they didn't even interview the other worker. Where was their statement? I forget where I was going with that one. and then the police had alleged that I coughed on her at a completely different time frame of the video. Now, I really am hopeful that I can, because obviously I've got footage of this CCTV footage for the brief of evidence, but I'm really hopeful that I can obtain a copy of that legally to be able to post, because I really want to at some stage post this footage, right? So anyway, there were three different timeframes that they're accusing us of coughing. Like, which one is it? Which one is it, babe? Because none of them are consistent with each other. None of them align up to anything. So yeah, anyway, this was their big brief of evidence. And we'd gone back and forth, and I obviously said, I'm still pleading not guilty. Like, I haven't done anything. There's nothing there. I didn't do anything wrong. And just before the hearing, the police had agreed, they'd communicated with my solicitor that they were going to withdraw the charges because someone above, you know, whoever, like there's obviously commanders in whatever, had reviewed it and decided to withdraw the charges because there was no fucking evidence, because nothing happened. There was no crime that happened. So then, you know, we'd agreed to that. So the hearing day, I didn't want to make that known on social media because I was so worried that it would jinx it or they'd change their mind. And as I was walking, so I'd met up with Samir and Jessica before court. As we were walking to court, I said, is there any chance that they would not withdraw the charges now? And he goes, no, that'd be stupid. They've already put it in email. Like, no way. Well, anyway, so we'd already decided with Samir, he'd agreed to, we're going to go for costs because this is bullshit. And he, like, not many solicitors will do this. This man, I cannot recommend him enough. Like, I cannot speak highly enough of this place. He had the balls to go in and do it. So many won't, because it is so hard to get costs from police. So we weren't going for costs from the woman that was accusing me. We were going for costs from the police because they were the one pursuing charges. So hard to bloody do, right? So hard. Not many solicitors will do it. And he said, right, we're going for costs. So as we went into court that morning, he come back in. So we were waiting. I was waiting in a room with Jessica, and Samir come in. He was fuming. And he said this prosecution that was on that day had turned around and said, if you go for costs, we are not withdrawing charges. They literally just before the hearing tried to blackmail me into not going for costs. I was fuming. Samir was fuming. He said, what do you want to do? Like, if they go in and, you know, we're potentially going to have another date and go back. I said, nah. I said, I'm sorry. If you're willing to fight it, you cannot blackmail me. Like, do not fucking bribe me into not going for costs. Like, that's just so fucking low. That speaks volumes in its fucking self of what they're doing and how they're conducting themselves. So he said, let's just get in. Let's get into the magistrate now. And so the magistrate was like, oh, okay, so the charges are being withdrawn. Prosecution tried to stand up and say, oh, actually, Your Honour, well, my solicitor was a bloody gun. Samir got up and he's like, if I may, Your Honour, if you can, you know, go back to this email on this date and blah, 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 blah. And he just fucking got it out there now. And so then they had no choice but to withdraw the charges. So thankfully that all happened. We come out of there successful. We won. Incredible. Amazing. And so he put the cost application in during that. And obviously the magistrate at that time didn't have time to go through the cost thing then. So we had to set it for a different date. So, he'd put it through for a different date and we were able to do that one by video conference. So he didn't have to come. And I so badly wish that I could have footage of inside this fucking courtroom, because he was, I said it in a blog post, he was like the Aaron Brockovich, a male version. Like, he just put them in their place. He's so quick. He's so witty. He's so knowledgeable. Like, he's just a fucking gun in that courtroom. And before, like, when we'd gone through and explained the costs and why we were going for costs and the mismanagement and, you know, things that had been done wrong in the investigation, the prosecution had tried to stand up and they said, oh, Your Honour, I would like to bring to your attention a Facebook post made by the defendant on the 5th of October, I think it was, where she's fundraising, essentially. She's fundraising for this court cost, so she's not even out of pocket. And the magistrate just wouldn't. He's like, I'm failing to see your point here, because whether it was her money or someone else's, there were still costs that were occurred. And it would be up to the people that donated if they wanted to get their money back. And she was still out of pocket for, you know, the other solicitor and XYZ. Like, they just got trumped with that one. I was like, fucking yes, because I was watching via video conference, but muted and whatever. So I was like so stoked at that. And yeah, they tried to argue so many different things. They just kept carrying on. And one of their arguments, now again, this just goes to show how deep this runs in. Somebody in that station doesn't like me. It just purely comes down to somebody didn't like me. And I don't know, they wanted to make me be out of pocket. They wanted to sting me with something. I don't know what it fucking was. But they tried to say some of the reasons for the delay was that they couldn't get in contact or find me. Now, this occurred in August 2021, and they tried to say that in that time frame they couldn't find me or communicate with me. Now, I have a TikTok dated, I think it was the 2nd or 3rd of September, I'd have to go back to my screenshot, that the police, Coffs Harbour Police, found me at my local coffee van. I go to a coffee van in Coffs Harbour, and I had gone there that morning, and they approached me and said, oh, we need to see that you've got a mask exemption. You're out without a mask on. So I had to present my mask exemption, but they'd been looking for me that morning, found me that morning. I think it was the 13th or the 18th. Again, I'd have to double check my screenshots, but it's all there. Your girl keeps receipts. They came to my house to ask if I'd been in Byron Bay. So I had to prove that I'd been home. I showed them photos with timestamps, you know, over the weekend or whatever, of me at home with my children. And then it was several weeks after that that they'd come to my house again to ask if I'd been abiding by public health orders. It was about five or six times in that time frame they'd come to my house. So I quickly sent, you know, the screenshot to Samir of the TikTok that I'd done when they found me at the coffee van, and the video where they'd come, you know, a couple of weeks after to say I'd been in Byron or ask if I'd been in Byron Bay, to prove that they have actually been in contact with me since then. So it wasn't that they couldn't find me, because they fucking knew me well. They knew where I drank coffee. They know my house. They know my number. They know my email address. Like, they were all on it. So why didn't they speak about this earlier? Why wouldn't they question me about that earlier? So there just goes, like, this runs really deep. The corruption, the mismanagement, like, whatever it is, it's pretty full on. So Samir was able to put them in their place about that, and we fucking won costs. Now, one of the things that these trolls are rolling with is that all costs were covered. Now, I never come out and said how much costs were covered, because I quite enjoy the fact that my trolls sit there fuming that, God forbid, I might get ahead in life or something good has actually happened. Now, the costs that were awarded were $1,500. $1,500. That doesn't even put a drop in how much the proceedings were, right? It's a little bit. Now, for us, that was still a huge fucking victory. And I said to Samir, I don't even care if you walk out of that courtroom getting a dollar. It is the principle. I want police to be held accountable. I want them, you know, to have had to pay something. I want to say that costs were paid. So it was more the principle of it and putting those police in the place and, you know, make it trying to right a bit of a wrong. You know, I'm still so out of pocket. So, you know, so many people are running with, well, what are you doing with that money? I hope you're giving it back. Giving what back? I don't have a cent of it. Do you know where that $1,500 went? I provided the trust account for my solicitor to the courts, and the police will be putting it into my solicitor's account of money owed, right? I am still out of pocket for the original solicitor, still out of pocket for other costs incurred, for expenses, traveling, all of this stuff. I'm still out of pocket. I have not financially gained anything from this. And so many people are sitting there going, give donations back, pay it forward. I'm still thousands of dollars out here. Like, why are people not registering that? Like, they literally think that I've just been handed this $6,600 check and I actually didn't pay anything else. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. Like, the rumor mill is just absolutely absurd. Absolutely fucking crazy. I just can't make sense of how many people jump on going, oh my God, she's, you know, done this and that. So anyway, so now, you know, that was the exact figure. The Advocate put it in their little thing, but a lot of people didn't pay to read the article behind the paywall. But it's still, that was still a massive win. And I'm so glad that went to my solicitor. Like, if I'm ever a millionaire, mate, I will give that man so much money. I can never be thankful enough. Like, I'm just, it was so nice to have somebody so on your side that looked at all the evidence and went, this is fucking bullshit. Like, how can they be doing this? How can they get away with it? And I'll still never know. And my faith in the system was already really, you know, tarnished and broken, but I've lost faith in all of it. You know, if I could be getting stabbed in the head, and I still don't even think I'd call police now, because why would I bother? You know, some of you would have known about, while we were homeless, we were harassed relentlessly. I was sent death threats. I had people saying they were going to, you know, slit my throat all over the motel rooms that we were at. They were threatening to R-word my daughter, you know, really full on threats. And I'd gone to the police station. People were leaking our address when they'd find out what motel we were staying at. At one stage, people were ringing motels to try and stop us being able to check in and stay at different motels. Like, and my phone number got leaked, you know, there was just so much. And I had all these screenshots and I had all these call records and I had videos of them ringing up and harassing me as well. Like, they'd ring while I was live streaming. And the police would say, get off social media. Which is, okay, tell someone to get off social media, but that's literally how I was affording to stay at motels for $1,500, $2,000 a week at times. How else was I supposed to pay that? I didn't want to have my kids in the back of a car. Like, are you fucking kidding? Like, no one should have to get off social media because someone wants to be a cunt. Like, they could have easily, it's really, and I understand social media, like, finding a lot of stuff is hard, but there's new cyberbullying laws. There were laws put in place around that time. They could have done something. They could have gone and, you know, obtained where these private numbers had rang and found the numbers that were ringing me. And I didn't, you know, perhaps it might have been several different people harassing us, but it might have just been one. But my thought process with that was, if we can just charge one person with this fucking bullshit, then the other people that think they can hide behind private numbers and fake accounts might actually step back a little bit and go, oh, fuck, actually, I can get found out. It might just fucking deter them just a little bit, even just a few of them. Like, the fact that they can see messages saying they're going to R-word a child, a female child, and then literally not just be like, oh, I hate you, you're dumb, like threatening to murder someone in their motel room and listing what motels they're at. They can see all of that information and still go, meh, you know, meh. But then someone can go, oh, she coughed at me. I don't like her because she wasn't wearing a mask. And then they'll roll with it. They'll roll with that and go, yep, that's a criminal we need to pursue. Yep, she's a threat to fucking society. Like, are you kidding? I literally, Morrison's sperm donor, we'll call him, he was aggressive, and we had an altercation on the last time that I ever saw him or communicated with him. I've seen him, you know, in the street and stuff, but the last time we'd ever communicated, you know, he got physical and he got violent because I wouldn't terminate the pregnancy. And I went straight away to the police station. I cut up my legs and arms on my face, you know, visibly shaking. I gave my statement. They took photos of my injuries, then turned around and said, there's not enough evidence to charge him. And oh, they'll put a DVO in place. Like, excuse me, you can have someone who has been physically assaulted, pregnant and physically assaulted with photographic proof on their bodies, and you're going to say there's not enough evidence, yet you will charge someone based off somebody's statement. Like, how the fuck, how? And so that just goes to show at how broken the system is and why people lose faith in it and why people don't bother with trying to get help or press charges or do things, because it's so fucking bullshit. There's no help for those that need it. Like, it's just, yeah. And I will never get to the bottom of why it went as far as it did. It really, really shouldn't have. And the fact that, you know, they can turn around and say that they didn't know how to contact me, yet had been contacting and harassing me that whole time. And, you know, they just trying to bribe someone into not going for costs because they know they fucked up. Like, it's just nonsense. Like, it was a brutal time. And I'm so glad that we came out of that winning. I'll always be in fear now, though, of what are they going to do? Are they going to continue to harass me? Are they going to try and get me on anything? I don't know. Will they be deterred now that they know that I have amazing representation? Like, I don't know. It's shit. It's scary. It's confusing. But I'm so thankful that part's closed. Oh, that's, hang on, another part I didn't tell you about. We found out in court on the last one when we were going for costs that the woman that was made the accusations, she, before they agreed to withdraw charges, she had wanted to not go ahead anymore because she'd moved away. Like, she had nothing to do with it anymore. She'd thought it had dragged on for too long herself. So why were they still adamant in pursuing charges when there wasn't even a person with a complaint anymore? Like, fucking what the fuck? So anyway, I'm glad that it's finished. I'm so thankful to Samir and Jessica. And it's crazy, like, as crazy as things are in our lives, often everything happens for a reason. And I'm sure there'll be a reason for this at some stage. I'm sure it'll eventually make sense, whether it's a month from now or 10 years from now, because I'd asked Jessica in our communication, I thought, oh, how did you find my page? Like, how did you start following me to then see that post to then want to help, right? Well, she'd followed me. She first stumbled across my page when all of my breastfeeding stuff was being pushed through the media. That's how she found me. So if those posts never blew up about me breastfeeding and people twisting it and it becoming this big thing. If that never happened, she potentially never would have found my page, which would mean when I put that call out to help, I potentially never would have had that solicitor. I never would have been in contact. I never would have been able to resolve this issue in the way that it resolved itself. So, you know, that was a brutal time with the breastfeeding stuff and people twisting that and coming and attacking me for that. But eventually, divinely worked out in the end, because that, without my knowledge, had made this person find my profile to then be able to, years later, come and be like, hey, you know, I've got your solution for this problem right now. Like, that was absolutely incredible. I'm so thankful. And, you know, I've told her once this case was finished, I was like, oh, well, too bad. You're stuck with me as a friend now. Like, I've grown to love you. Like, you're an awesome person. You know, all the other stuff and all your help aside, like, she's a genuine, incredible soul. And eventually, with all this craziness, and this is why I really encourage people to put yourself out there, share on your experiences, speak on your stories, because being this open version of yourself, you bring your soul tribe in. Like, you find the people that are supposed to be in your life. You know, we deal with all these fake friendships and fake connections and bullshit, shitty shit that comes along in our lives. But when we're being our most authentic selves, we come across these people that are so alike us and so in tune with us. And that doesn't mean they're alike you in every single way and have the same thoughts, feelings, mindsets, opinions on everything. Just they're the people that get you, that are supposed to, you know, be aligned with you. So thankful to that. So thankful for that. And I really hope that me sharing my experiences and my stories does encourage you to be your most loudest a self, you know, your most authentic self, your most out there. Like, fuck what people think about it. You know, it was daunting me putting this story out, because I know so many people live with the assumption, well, if you've been charged, you're guilty. But it's not the case. In Australia, you're actually guilty until proven innocent. And I've learned that the hard way too. So, you know, that was hard for me to put that story out there, even though I'm so open about things. But I went, fuck it. And look where it led me. It led me to some incredible connections. It's allowed me to share on this law firm that's there to help people. And I'm forever thankful for that. I'm forever thankful for that experience and having these connections now. So go and share your stories, speak your truth, shine your light in this crazy, crazy fucking world. But yeah, anyway, I think that wraps that whole experience up and I can close that chapter. And I was going to do it in a blog as well, but, you know, I just don't know if I feel that I need to even do that. I might just share this podcast link on my Facebook and on my Instagram as well, because it's weighed so heavy, you know, and it's had such an impact on my children. They were so afraid to leave the house after that. They were so worried that someone was going to yell at us. You know, if they hear a car, they get nervous. Is it the police now? Like, this is just things that children shouldn't have had to experience. You know, they shouldn't be afraid of the police. You know, we're supposed to be able to tell our children if something goes wrong, you know, go to a police officer, you can trust the police. But now they live with this thing of, fuck, they only ever attack and harass my mum who did nothing except for just try and breathe fresh fucking air with the legal medical exemption and just try to, you know, continue our life as normal. And now they have to be tarnished with that. Like, I hate that. I hate that for them. I hate that experience happened. I hate so many of our experiences have happened on them, but yeah, we're moving through, and I hope one day I can even rebuild my faith in, you know, I know not every single police officer is bad. Please don't think that I'm insinuating that as well, because there's some incredible police out there. And I met this beautiful police officer when I was in Korakai helping out with a flood relief. And, you know, just the conversation I had with this woman, she was so passionate about her job. And, you know, she was still against all these lockdowns and mandates, but obviously that was her job. She had to go and speak with people and things. So I know that not every single police officer is bad, but it is really hard to trust and believe in these people in the area you live in when they've done nothing but harass you, wrongfully charge you, like. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it was someone high up in that station that has an issue with me as a person and, you know, the police that got involved, that was their job. They had to do it. I don't know. I'll never know, will I? I'll never know unless somebody reaches out and says, hey, that was me and I didn't want to do it. But yeah, I hope that I can build up my trust again and have faith in them. But for now, I feel still pretty hurt and tarnished. But I guess I'll move on eventually. So yeah, I'm going to wrap this one up here. It's a bit of a shorter one. Still dribbled on though. And I'll, because this is an episode that didn't really go into what I wanted to go in, I'll probably do one. I'm trying to stick to releasing the one every week, but I know I've had a lot of requests of people wanting to talk about autism. So we might dive in. I might actually try and record that one on Thursday, which it's Tuesday now, so in a couple of days, and put that one out a bit sooner so you've got something valuable to listen to. I don't want to just focus on the negative shit, you know. So yeah, anyway, I hope you're all having a beautiful day, morning, evening, night, whenever you're listening to this. And please make sure you do continue to give me your feedback on things that you want me to talk about, on any questions that you have that we can dive into that. I do, over the next few episodes, once I purge a little bit more, I want to start having guests. It won't be like a consistent thing, but there's a few people in my life that I know have some really incredible stories to share, and I really want to get them on. But if there's also other people that you would love to hear me interview or talk to as well, like if there's, you know, a lactation consultant, for example, or, you know, a doula or just a nurse or whatever, like whatever it might be, feedback always welcome. Let me know what you guys want, because as much as I want this for myself to talk about what I feel like talking about, purging what I feel needs to purge, I also want it to be of value to so many of you that have supported me. And if I can help with tips and guidance and help, you know, bring things on the platform that will give you a little bit more knowledge, like that's what I want to do as well. So anyway, I really appreciate you guys listening in. Thank you again for all the support, and just so much love to everybody that's had our back. And I will check in with you all soon. Also, guys, I just wanted to give another huge thanks to Samir and Jessica from Bengal Legal. If you have any issues that you need support with, please go and check them out. It is bengallegal.com.au. So that's bengallegal.com.au. Cannot speak highly enough. Love these people. There's so many people that are just not authentic in this world or have ulterior motives, you know, and think more of a financial gain. I can hand on heart say these people are so genuine. Samir is just, he fights for what is right. And so many people don't do that anymore. And this man has a genuine heart and genuinely wants to get things right and help people. So make sure you reach out if you've got any issues, check them out, go and show support anyway. He's on Instagram as well. Give him a follow, give him a thumbs up, send him some love. Yeah. And make sure that you hit subscribe on my accounts so you get notified when there is a new podcast. But I will speak to you all very, very soon. Have an incredible, whatever it is, day, night, evening. Bye. Thank you all for listening to my podcast. Make sure you are following all of my socials. We've got Instagram with Sarah Mills_amongst the stars. TikTok is Sarah Mills_ATS1 for now. Who knows until we get that one banned. YouTube is probably Sarah Mills amongst the stars as well. I don't know. Find a link tree. They'll all be in there. Thanks, guys.